lonely and you're never coming round.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified and then I see the look in your
eyes. Turn around.
Eclipse of the heart. Once upon a time there was light in my life, but now there's only love in the dark. Nothing I can say, a total eclipse of the heart.
Turn around. Hello, hello there. My name is Murray. I'm with my co-host Corey, and we are The Real Guys. This is Siren Radio, and this is The Real Show with two E's. The music you just heard was Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler from 1983. What was that year like, Corey?
Smooth. Very smooth.
We've got a packed show for you today, and we are your number one platform on the airwaves and YouTube for pop culture, film, and television discussion. As always, I'm accompanied by my co-host Corey. How are you doing today, Corey?
I am doing very well, thank you.
Very good. We're on YouTube at The Real Show, and on Instagram at The Real Show FM, and on Twitter at The Real Show FM as well. Follow us, like us. We do stuff on there sometimes. We're also at Google, Apple, and Spotify, and all your places you get your podcast. You can listen to us wherever. We'll always be in your ear. You will never get rid of us. So, what we're going to be talking about today is we're going to be taking it to an animated sequel. We've already done the first film. We're coming back. We're doing the sequel. What are we doing the sequel to, Corey?
We are doing Shrek 2.
Shrek 2 from 2004. Yes, that's right. It's Shrek TikTok. It's Shrek O'Clock.
I was 4 years old when this came out.
Were you? Wow, yeah. Me too. We'll be seeing how it compares to the original,
yes.
The first Shrek. We'll be looking forward to the sequels. We'll be doing them, perhaps, in the future.
I do have our real ratings from the
yes,
first Shrek
Yes, we also
episode.
Have our real ratings as well. Yes, that's right. And we have a weekly rec.
Yes, we do.
For you. I think it's mine this week.
Yes.
It is. Good. I have something prepared.
It is yours.
Good. I'm glad about that. Now, let's just let's talk about... we'll do a bit of free form. We won't go so much in the plot.
Yeah.
We'll see what we can talk about. The first thing, the man who wrote the original book for Shrek, William Steig, unfortunately, he died during the production of this film, so the movie's dedicated to him, which is nice.
That's very nice.
Bit of early trivia for you there. So we're going to Shrek with Shrek 2. We take it back to the land, the fantasy land where Shrek is set, and we have the same storybook opening as the first film.
Yeah, I like that. I like the good storybook opening.
Then we take it to obviously Shrek and Fiona. We recap the first film. This time it's told from Prince Charming's perspective, who's a new character.
He
in
is.
This film.
And arguably, at least for me, the better villain out of him and Farquaad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, obviously. Oh, God, yeah. Farquaad's very one, though, I thought.
Yeah.
At least Prince Charming has something kind of... Yeah, he's much more of a compelling villain. Because you can really hate it. You can really hate
yeah, you
it.
Can.
He's really the brat kid kind of villain. I'm the most handsome man. Whereas Lord Farquaad's like, oh, he wants to marry the ogre. Lord Farquaad's very, very, a bit stale bread. Whereas Prince Charming's much more compelling, I think, in his villainy. So, and arguably the better villain of them both is Fairy Godmother. And I've got to say, I've got to give credit to Jennifer Saunders on this one. Mm. Not only does she do all her own songs, which is great.
True.
But I think she really plays it up, and she really goes ham. And I appreciate that. So, I like Fairy Godmother, I think. I think she's my favourite. No, wait, maybe she's my favourite. I think my favourite villain in Shrek is yet to come. So, but Fairy Godmother is up there. And that's what they do in Shrek. They take the fairy tale characters, and they put a twist on them, because that's what Shrek always sort of does.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned this in the first one, obviously, and like the ogres and all that sort of stuff. In this one, you get Puss in Boots. Puss in Boots is here.
Oh, yeah, the arrival of Puss in Boots, who has his own film.
He does have his own film.
We might review that. We might review Puss in Boots.
He's very Zorro-like. He carves his name into trees.
Yeah, he does. He does. It's Antonio Banderas.
It's a very good job. Very good job.
Incredible. So good, that I think he still plays Puss in Boots in every other language version.
You know what? It wouldn't surprise me.
Because Antonio Banderas is obviously a very, very worldly-traveled man who knows a lot of languages.
Yeah.
I think it's like the Spanish or Italian versions, or probably both of them, Antonio Banderas still is Puss in Boots, which is awesome. So, we have that donkey's back as well.
Yes.
I think that... Donkey's much better in this film, I've got to say.
Yeah.
He's really good with his aside. There was much more laughs in this film, I think, for me.
Yeah, but he's got someone to bounce off of now.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a relationship with Shrek the buddy is they get along most of the time, and there's a lot more back and forth between them in the first film. Mm. The first one, it's more just, you know, Donkey has an antic by himself, then he has an antic with Shrek. But in this film, it's a lot more Shrek and Donkey. That's where their pairing comes into its own.
Yeah, well, the first one is more about, like, Donkey and Shrek aren't really friends in the first one for most of it.
No.
It's them trying to figure out how they work together and what happens. Whereas now...
Yeah, Donkey's very, yeah.
Now they're fine. So now they can joke about and do whatever.
Yeah, true. I've got to say, Donkey's a bit of a glutton for punishment in this film, because everybody hates it.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, Donkey, you're useless. Oh, I dare you, Donkey. You know, there's the Shrek impression.
Always going to come through, is that Shrek impression.
Everybody is... I think I mentioned in the first review, you can summon your Shrek impression by saying the word Donkey.
Yeah, I think you did mention it.
Donkey. Donkey, you're useless, Donkey. You're just a Donkey. You know. Everyone's wailing on Donkey. Everyone's saying, oh, you're a useless guy, Donkey, blah, blah, blah. But he comes into his own in this film. He really has some great laughs. Eddie Murphy is great. Mm. The whole horse thing is just...
I love the horse thing.
Phenomenal. I love the horse thing as well. The whole horse thing. That entire sequence of him having the potion. And
yeah.
That is just gold, I think.
He's... You know what? My is just good. As Shrek, right?
Yeah. And he's still doing his Austin Powers 2 voice.
Yeah. And, like, Antonio Banderas is great at Puss in Boots. However, I still think Eddie Murphy probably still is the show.
He's a bit of a show stealer in this, I think. Especially at the dinner table, where they're all like, oh, Fiona, the queen of Donkey.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, it's really good fun. Really is. It's very consistent with his laughs, his entertainment, and it's... I think this time there's more to do in the first film. The first one was very cut and dry for me in retrospect, but with this one, it's a lot more of a creative story. It doesn't just make fun of oh, this happens in fairy tales, but this is happening now, blah, 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 kind of thing. But this actually tries to do something a bit different.
Yeah,
which I commend it for. And the basic roundabout plot is that the king and queen are back in town, and there's that great joke that I still laugh at every time. It's when those soldiers appear at the Shrek's.
I know exactly what you're going to say, because
they're playing
the
trumpet, and that one guy does Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah.
Because I only know that because of the memes. I only laugh at that now because of the memes, and they have the guy play Careless Whisper, or they have him play like. They haven't played trumpet music, like sax guy or something like that, you know.
What, like Baker Street?
But yeah, they haven't played Baker Street. Yeah, they do. They haven't played, instead of Hawaii 5-0, they'll have that guy play, like Baker Street or something like that. Or any music with, like, saxophone in it. And they'll slow it down, so look, he's going, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, with the saxophone. Oh, it's great. And the guy goes, enough, Reggie. It's great. That's what you're coming. These are very timeless in a way.
Yeah, and
the jokes still land because it's. I know there's a couple of things that seem a bit dated.
Yeah,
but because it's 2004.
Yes,
but the jokes, more so than not, do still land.
Yeah, the other thing with this film is, I know in like the first one, you still got some of the characters that were in it, but like. The side characters that aren't part of the main three, so who aren't Donkey, who aren't Puss in Boots, who aren't Shrek, who aren't Fiona, that's main four. Like, you get, like, Gingerbread Man, and you get, like, Pinocchio. They all have, for me anyway, are better in this film. Way better in this film, but they were in the first one.
They're more expanded roles, haven't they?
Exactly. And it's way better. And I feel like the characters have been given more, you know, more oomph.
Yeah, more to do, definitely.
Exactly.
There's the big bad wolf who's going around in Granny's clothes.
I loved the part where Prince Charming's got to Fiona's castle and he opens the curtain. He's like, Princess Fiona? He's like, no, she's on her honeymoon.
Yeah, it's the wolf's there instead. Yeah,
just reading a magazine.
And far, far away is this, like, L.A. pastiche.
Yeah.
I found that was really incredibly funny. Not just for the satire, but because, like, when you look at how sort of LA is structured and everything's very, they go down Hollywood Boulevard and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's shot like it's an LA film.
Yeah.
Like it's a Hangover or something, you know. It's shot like an LA film, like donkeys with the palm tree, and he's like, oh, and everyone, they're doing those shots of like awe and wonder that they do in every film when they go to LA. They do those shots of awe and wonder where they're looking at, like, I don't know, like a Starbucks or like a, there's a really funny joke where they change the shops into like fantasy like shops.
Mm.
And the Starbucks has got a funny logo and the shop about archery and stuff like that. It's very on brand for what Shrek could do, definitely, which is take a real life thing and turn it into a fantasy. Even the sequence where a donkey is a horse and Shrek is a man,
yes,
Roll into the city to try and find Fiona. They get arrested by the knights and they do a cops parody, but
yeah,
it's called Knights or something like that. And instead of using pepper spray, they just have a pepper grinder. They have a pepper grinder and they just grind pepper into Shrek's face.
Yeah, I mean, I
thought that was incredibly funny. Because, yeah, that's obviously they wouldn't have that kind of thing.
I mean, so, yeah, but this is also, I forgot, it says it in my notes, but I forgot about it. This is the part where Handsome Shrek becomes a thing.
Handsome, yes. And they based Handsome Shrek off the look of Mike Myers. So,
I mean, because he's human now. He's essentially just in a reverse Fiona.
Yeah, exactly. He's a human man. And the plan of Fairy Godmother's plan is to give Fiona this potion.
Mm.
So she falls in love with the first man that she kisses and it wants to be Prince
yes.
Charming. So, but now we have the King and the Queen, who are played by two quite respected English actors and actress. We've got John Cleese as the King.
Yeah.
I initially didn't even know it was John Cleese.
No, I didn't either.
I didn't either. I thought I don't know whether he's disguising his voice or I just haven't heard the voice of John Cleese in a while. But I was initially thinking, I wonder who that is doing the King.
Yeah.
I bet it's someone I know. And yes, it was. It was John Cleese. And then Julie Andrews, who does the Queen. So, and she's great as well. I like you, Julie Andrews. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's the cast in this film is really good.
Yeah, so
some
it does
depend on what version you're watching. Because if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think I mentioned this in the last one, maybe. The ugly stepsister is, in the American one, I believe it's Larry King. In the English one, I'm pretty sure it's Jonathan Ross.
Right.
I'm fairly certain it's Jonathan Ross.
Yeah, I think that's true, actually. I think in the US version it is Larry King, but in the English version it's... That reminds me of Cars.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to talk about now?
Possibly, I think.
Lightning McQueen's like agent is voiced by Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah.
In the UK version, but in the US version, it's done by some. Well, I think it's Jeremy Piven or someone like that.
Yeah.
Some other actor, but yeah, in the UK version, it's Jeremy Clarkson. I always thought that was really funny. I always imagined it wasn't actually a car; it was just Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah.
It was just Jeremy Clarkson from Top Gear. You know, tonight. Hammond stares at a wall. I eat a banana, and James wears a hat. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Lightning McQueen crashes in a race. That's exactly. I'm sure when you were listening to this, I'm sure when you decided to queue up the real show, listen to it, you weren't expecting my impression of Jeremy Clarkson.
No, I don't think anyone was. I wasn't expecting it.
No, exactly. So let's actually talk about Shrek, because that's what we're here to talk about.
Yes.
Shrek 2. Did you find there was an improvement in animation? Because I did.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
I don't know if it was just the style.
They look a lot... Sorry to interrupt you.
It's fine.
They look a lot more like... They look a lot more less like blocks now, don't they?
Yeah, but like... Part of it was just looks-wise, and it looked better. But I think also just the way... I don't know if it's the same... animators doing it, I would assume it probably was.
Yeah.
But the way it's just more fun. It just looks more fun. It just looks different
it's
and
brighter.
Better. Exactly, yeah.
Things have more depth, more detail. Things that look like, you know, PS3 cuts, PS2 cutscenes
yes.
now. Where Donkey and Shrek are on a wobbly bridge and the lava looks like custard. That kind of thing. Everything looks a lot more I don't want to say looks a lot more real, but looks a lot more like there's actual, like there's an animation style. And it's not just, Shrek doesn't look like a big green blob, and Donkey looks like a you know, 8-bit grey cutout kind of thing. Everything looks like it's supposed to look. Which is, yeah, exactly. I know, a small compliment, but it means a lot to the actual style of the film.
But no, yeah, animation's definitely, but to be fair, I think overall, and I think you'll agree, overall, Shrek 2, in my opinion, is better than the first one.
Oh yeah, by 100%.
Yeah.
Massively. I don't know what we rated the original Shrek.
I've got the ratings for Shrek 1 from both of us.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really? Okay, I wonder if this would be higher then. Don't tell me what they are.
I'll tell you when we get to the end, when we give our
reviews. Alright,
okay, don't
tell me what they are yet. Yeah. So, that'll be interesting, actually, to find out. It'll be interesting to find out what gets... if we're higher or if we're lower, so who knows? Well, you know, but...
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Oh, you know yours, do you know mine?
No, I know both our real ratings, but obviously I know what I'm going to give it, so I know if mine's higher or not.
Yeah, exactly, okay. Well, we'll see if mine's higher. So, for Shrek 2, let's get on to some of the songs. Because obviously a big part of Shrek is the music. They're practically musicals as they are. So let's go on to some of the songs. Obviously the biggest is like the climax song. It's I Need a Hero. Everyone remembers that. I'd probably say that's the best song in it, because not only does it add to the story, it doesn't feel like it's a bit useless. Like they play Funky Town when they enter.
Yeah, they do.
Far, far away. And I thought, yeah, sure, it connects to the story, but I thought they were just using an excuse to play Funky Town. Whereas I Need a Hero really connects to the story, where there's the big climax coming on, there's the massive gingerbread man, sort of Godzilla, King Kong over the bridge, and then Shrek's running through the castle, he's going, Fiona! You know. He's like, trying to tackle guards and stuff like that, and running and trying to run to get to her. And Shrek's, and I said Shrek, and Fiona's like, Shrek, where are you? Kind of thing. That's what they're going on with. And it really adds to the tension, and it adds to the action, and I think it's the best song in the film.
It's up there. Probably is the best, yeah. Story-wise, it's the best one. I mean, obviously, you have other ones. You've got your Living in Vidaloka, which...
Oh, yeah, that's at the end as well. That's a great finished song. Although, you know, there's a lot of... there's a lot of sort of party tunes in this, isn't there?
I mean,
it's very, you can dance along to Shrek 2.
Poor dog. There's a part in Living a Bit, as we're watching it, the whole clip's on like YouTube, you can watch it for free. There's a part in Living
a
Bit.
That dog gets murdered.
Yeah, where Shrek just jumps and like decides to do a stage dive, and the dog's just there.
That poor dog gets squashed.
Yeah.
There's a lot of. Some of the violence in this film, there's one bit where, like, someone gets evaporated or something like that.
Yeah.
I think the fairy godmother does. She gets completely evaporated.
I think so,
and
yeah.
And that dog is squashed. So, I don't know, but it's cartoon violence.
Exactly.
But it's brutal when you think about it. All those poor elves working in... Or whoever they are, elves, goblins.
True.
Working in Fairy Godmother's potion factory, they all get turned into birds. What are they going to live like now?
I mean,
all their lives have been ruined. They probably all had 9-to-5 jobs. They probably all had wives and husbands and children at home. They had a mortgage. They had, you know, finances they had to pay. Probably some of them were about a couple of days away from retirement. Shrek and his buddies roll in, and now they're all turned into birds. What are you going to do? Those guys had lives, you know? Those people had lives.
True. I mean,
trying to make an honest living, you know, not everyone is evil. Some people are just trying to make a living. Some of those elves trying to work a living in the potion factory, you know, 9-to-5, clocking in, clocking out, and now what they're going to do? Live life as a bird. The Shrek, just more like, you know, life destroying Shrek.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, as far as songs go, as far as go, pretty. I mean, also, this is my first introduction when I was younger to Live and Let Die.
Oh, that's next one.
Which is? Oh, is it the next one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Save that point.
I'll note that down.
Yeah, it's Shrek 3 where he's living and die. We're not doing that yet. That's next week.
Okay, next week. Make a point.
There we go. But no, it does bring us on to the king, John Cleese's
yes.
king, who is turned into a frog at the end of the film.
He is. Because, you know,
he's turned into a frog. And I think which is actually referenced, because doesn't at the start of the film we see a lady frog at the bar?
I think so.
When he goes to when the king goes to the Poison Apple, the sort of shady bar, to meet up with Puss in Boots, there's a frog next to him with lipstick on or something.
There is.
Yeah, a little reference to what happens to him at the end, and then we get an introduction to Puss in Boots, which is just great. I love that scene where he goes into the dark room and puts Unity's eyes in there. He's like, I will take care of this ogre. And he cuts the coin bag. But they still play with the fact that, yeah, Puss in Boots is still a cat. He has that cute cat face to everybody.
Yes.
And he jumps out of his little boots. And it's just really cool. I'm really impressed by that character. And I think we might end up doing the Puss in Boots film itself. I know he got a spin-off, didn't he?
He did, yeah. He got his own film.
With Humpty Dumpty.
Well, yeah. I remember Humpty Dumpty being terrifying, but yes.
Oh, Humpty Dumpty's in it. Terrified by Humpty Dumpty. I think that's a topic that we might have to get into later.
I'm telling you, if you Google what he looks like in that film, I swear it's horrifying.
Right, well, yeah, obviously some of your repressed childhood memories are coming back for
me. Yeah, exactly.
So, we might get on to that. We might get on to Puss in Boots' own film. But as far as Shrek's film goes, do you think actually, mm-hmm. with the mention of Puss in Boots and his own film,
yes,
do you think that's entirely necessary? Do you think we need to like have a spin-off in the Shrek universe? We need to see more of the Shrek universe.
The thing is, right?
It's an interesting universe.
Yeah, but the thing with Shrek is a lot of the people in it, like Pinocchio, like the princesses, that I don't know if they are technically ones from Disney, but essentially they are.
We've got what, Cinderella.
Yeah, Snow White's in
Rapunzel.
It.
Rapunzel.
And it's like all that the ugly stepsister. We already know their backstories because they're fairy tales, so we kind of already know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same goes with like Puss in Boots, where it's like you can just search it up. Like it is there. Like we know what happens. I don't know if it's necessary. I'm not saying I'm against them doing it either, but it's like, yeah, it's like Pinocchio, we assume he gets made by Geppetto still, and he's a whatever. And
yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's, yeah, we know him, because they're based on other stuff that already exist, and they're bringing him in.
And they reuse the Muffin Man joke, which I'm still happy with. Do you know the Muffin Man? He goes, the Muffin Man? The Muffin Man. The one that lives on Drury Lane. Yeah. And they come in and they make that huge Muffin Man. Not a huge muffin man, the huge gingerbread man.
The huge muffin man. That's what we do.
The huge muffin man. He multiplies himself. He takes a potion. He grows. He goes to 200th his size.
Yeah.
And then he's huge muffin man going to attack. You know, actually, I think a huge man would be much scarier than a huge gingerbread man.
Yeah. Probably.
Because what do you do? What do you do against a huge gingerbread man? They like hit him with like what, milk?
Yeah, well,
I always thought that was water when I was a child.
What actually happens? Because we see him singing to "I Need a Hero" still when he's like in the water.
Is he like?
Is it just down there
forever
now?
In that water now?
Yeah, exactly.
He's gonna live in that moat.
Is he down there? Is he like?
He doesn't drown.
What exactly? What's happening to him?
He doesn't even breathe. He's a gingerbread man.
Is there like a crane or something? Can I lift him out? What's going on?
Is there a crane? Exactly. He didn't really need to live. He's He doesn't need to breathe. He doesn't need to, you know, gingerbread man's act like his big gingerbread man's drowning. But I think like he's fine at the end. He just loses his arms and he's in the water.
Yeah.
I thought they hit him in water. I was like, right, they fire that big at him, and then they hit his gumdrop button. He goes, not the gumdrop buttons.
Yeah. Again.
And they hit him, and then he fires a gumdrop button back at them, a flaming gumdrop button.
Yeah.
And then they hit him with, like, milk, I assume? It was water. I thought it was water when I was a kid.
No, looking... I'm trying
to... They pour milk on him, and he's like, oh,
Yeah, it's milk. It's hot milk.
Oh, hot milk. Apparently, I think they must have been attacked by Dark Demon Man before. They know exactly how to counter it. But
yeah. Yeah, it looks like
that. He's like, oh, the Iron Giant moment where he goes, be good. And then they have to run, and they have to run off. That's a great, I love that. That's a great, it's a small moment.
It is.
But in terms of the film, I thought that sequence lasted much longer than it did.
So do I. That's the one also, thing that I think most people remember when they think of Shrek.
Yeah, when you think of Shrek 2, yeah, the big gingerbread man sequence is definitely one. But this film is quite, it's honestly short.
Yes.
And I say honestly short because if it had gone any longer, I would have gotten tired of it.
Yes.
Shrek is very flash in the pan. It's very, here's loads of exciting fun things, and here's a fun, exciting plot, and da-da-da, and funny laughs, and donkey, and then by the time it's over, it's, oh, right, okay, carry on.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Decent half, decent, yeah, hour and a half.
It's a good length. I like the length of the films.
It needed to be that length. Like, yes. As I said, if it was any longer than an hour and a half, then, again, yes, it's an animated film, but, and it has a pretty much celebrity cast, but, yeah. Other than that, it doesn't need to be any longer than this, and that's fine. The length is just perfect.
I like it. I think it's good. It takes the fantasy stuff of the first one and expands it and makes it better. Like the castle siege in the first one where we're trying to get Fiona and the dragons there. And then you have the castle siege and the second one with the giant gingerbread man. It's just better. It just takes the first one and just kind of, okay, that works. Let's just buff and make it bigger.
Yeah, it elevates it, definitely.
Exactly.
Would you like some trivia?
If you have some.
Which it's big time trivia time. Would you like, it's our new segment, big time trivia time. Would you like some trivia?
You know what, why not? Go on, hit us with some trivia.
Okay, originally, the dragon does not appear in this film.
It doesn't, no.
But originally, dragon was supposed to appear in this film, accompanying Donkey, and she was to have a major role, and actually turned into a Pegasus when taking the potion.
Okay.
However, due to animation cost, she was removed.
Makes sense.
So, and we mentioned the giant gingerbread man,
yep.
Who acts as a name. His name's Mongo, according to this.
Okay.
Giant gingerbread man Mongo... when he's hit by the flaming catapult ball,
yes,
the big catapult, the cannonball, the roar is the original, is the same exact soundbite of the original roar from Godzilla. So the nice. Toho Godzilla 1960s Godzilla, it makes the same noise.
Yeah, that's nice.
And
oh, you got more?
Yes, I have got more.
Oh, got
when
more.
Shrek awakes in the barn as a human, obviously surrounded by this. Three women. One of them introduced herself as Jill, as in Jack and Jill.
Yes,
that was a fun one there. So this is actually scored the biggest opening ever for an animated movie. It got Finding Nemo in 2003 with a, if you want to guess, don't guess, $70 million opening. So.
Is that still, or is that at the time?
Well,
I assume it's probably been beaten.
I think it's probably been topped by now.
Yeah.
Puss in Boots was originally going to be an English character instead of taking Antonio Banderas' role. Before they cast Antonio Banderas, he was originally going to be like an English sort of knight. But then they felt that he was too similar to Lord Farquaad from the first Shrek.
Nice.
As you know, being a short man with a sword, or a short cat with a sword. So instead, they changed it to be the Zorro like Puss in Boots, which actually I think made more sense.
Yeah, it does make way more sense.
So, and yeah, as I said before, the human form of Shrek resembles Mike Myers.
Yes.
And then when Shrek, Donkey and Puss in Boots enter the Fairy Godmother's factory, Donkey calls it the old Keebler place, which is a reference to the Keebler elves.
Nice.
So, and it's actually the highest grossing movie of 2004.
Okay. Did well for itself.
Didn't know that. But the biggest question is, and I know you're asking the biggest question, listener, what is our real rating?
Yes.
So I will let you go first, Corey.
Okay, so I'm not going to reveal both of our old Shrek 1 ones until we've said them first. So my Shrek 2 rating is going to be an 8 out of 10. That's what I'm giving it, 8 out of 10.
Right, and I will give Shrek 2... I'm going to bring it up to an 8.5.
Okay, this is the interesting part.
Right, so, okay, break the tension.
I gave Shrek 1 a 7.
Right, okay.
So I've given Shrek 2 one higher. You gave Shrek 1 a 7.5, so you've also given Shrek 2 one higher.
We've both gone one higher. Actually, I was going to go 9. I thought if you go anywhere, if you go 8 or 9, I'll go 9. But since you went 8, I was like, right, I'll go 8.5 just to make it, just to give it that extra boost. So yeah, Shrek 2, great animated film, good length, it's a good time all round.
Yes.
So, if you haven't seen it, go out and watch it, obviously. But you know, I think Shrek 2 is one of those animated films you really have to see.
Yeah, this
is one of those really defining animated films of the 2000s.
Yeah, and this is the... Which is going to be great for the review of the awards. This is the peak of Shrek. This is the best.
Shrek will not get better than this.
It won't.
Shrek will not get better than this. So I think 8.5 might be the highest rating a Shrek film is going to get, since we're also doing the next two like before the end of the month. So
it's always good when you're like, this is the peak, and we've got two more films to review afterwards.
Yeah, three with Puss in Boots.
Yeah, true.
So, if we end up doing it, we might even do the musical. Why not? We've not done that before.
Oh yeah, speaking of the musical, also probably good thing to mention that Shrek 2 had Simon Cowell in it.
Yes, yeah. Oh yeah, you mentioned this last time.
Yeah.
You mentioned when we reviewed Shrek 1, you thought Simon Cowell was in this one, but no, he's in Shrek 2.
It's the second one.
What does Simon Cowell do in Shrek 2?
Simon Cowell is a judge for Far, Far Away Idol.
Right. Okay. Which of course,
is. If you had the DVD, you get some bonus features, and you can pick who you want to sing. Every character will sing songs, including Simon Cowell himself.
Oh, well, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, isn't that something?
Yeah. He isn't a person you can pick, but if you pick someone, it ends up with Simon Cowell singing.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, well, Weekly Rec, we have to pick something that's at least connected, right?
Yes.
And I've gone with the actor John Cleese, plays the king. You know what it's going to be. It's a Monty Python film.
Yep.
It is The Meaning of Life.
Interesting choice.
Thank you. Now, I know you're a bit of a fan, Monty Python, Corey.
I am. Holy Grail is my favourite.
Life of Brian is my favourite. I am a big fan of Holy Grail as well. But this is The Meaning of Life. And obviously you've got all the Pythons, Graham Chapman, John Cleese, Eric Idle, Michael Palin, Terry Jones. Everyone's back in this. Terry Gilliam even shows up for a bit. It's The Meaning of Life is I think it's close to a flying circus in a film as you can get.
Yes.
It's very sketchy. They're all multi-rolling. It's very close to Flying Circus, which is great. Flying Circus is absolutely fantastic. And The Meaning of Life is as well. So it takes you through a life. It goes through life in all of its stages in Python's very unique, very silly way of comedy, where there's a sort of a normal man and a strange man, but it turns out the normal man is stranger than the strange man. The best Python. This is an excuse to talk about Python. What is your favourite Python sketch? Come on.
What favourite sketch?
Not your favourite. What is a favourite?
Oh, but wait. So it's going to sketch or like something from a film?
Sketch. Come on, sketch. Silly Walks. What is it? Argument. The Argument Clinic.
To be fair, Silly Walks is up there. I will give you that.
My favourite thing of the Python sort of ethos, which is there's a strange man, the normal man and the strange man, the normal man is strange and the strange man, is the Lumberjack song. But the guy comes in about his dead parrot in his cage.
Yeah,
he goes,
no, okay,
this parrot is deceased. We've got John Cleese. This parrot is an ex-parrot. And it turns out the man behind the desk doesn't want to be.
Yeah.
He says, I never want to own a pet shop. I want to be a lumberjack. He puts a hat on and starts walking into the forest. And he starts singing about being a lumberjack and being a crossdresser.
Yeah.
It's I think it's outrageously funny. Because it proves that entire thing. it proves that, yeah, the guy comes in about his dead parrot. The sketch begins with a man coming in about his dead parrot and being concerned that he's sold him this parrot and it's dead. And then it ends with the shop owner wearing lederhosen,
yeah,
and like one of those fluffy hats with an axe, singing with like the Canadian Guard in the background, singing about becoming a lumberjack, and it's just hilarity, and it's exactly what the Pythons do best. So, but I digress. The Meaning of Life, 9.5 reels.
Okay.
It's a Python film.
Yeah.
You've got to give it high. It's always good. It's off the back of Flying Circus and everything great that the Python through. You can never go wrong with a Monty Python film, I think.
True. Very true.
So, there we are. Monty Python, Meaning of Life. To end this episode, your weekly rec gets 9.5 reels. I would give it 10, but I think when we review Python films, we'll go on to it anyway, because we've got to have a Python month, haven't we?
Yeah.
And to end this episode, we're going to bring you there's a David Bowie song in the film Changes. We've already played it, I think.
Yes.
So instead we're going to play The Gene Genie, 1972. Good for the heart, good for the soul, bit of Bowie, everyone loves it. So it's a goodbye from me, goodbye, and a goodbye from Corey.
Goodbye.
Strung out on lasers and slashed back blazers and ate all your razors while pulling the waders, talking about Monroe and walking on Snow White. New York's a go-go and everything tastes nice. Poor little greenie. Ooh. Get back on. Gene Genie lives on his back. Gin Genie loves chimney stacks. He's outrageous, he screams and he bawls. But Gin Genie, let yourself go. Sits like a man, but he smiles like a reptile. She loves him, but just for a short while. She'll scratch in the sand, won't let go his hand. He says he's a beautician, sells you nutrition, keeps all your dead hair for making up underwear. Poor little greenie. The Gin Genie lives on his back. The Gin Genie loves chimney stacks. Capsule. Loves to the dark.